And if you try to, if you try to coach somebody with the same approach, you try to coach different people, or maybe the same person at different seasons in their life, they're in the, they're in one of these quadrants with the same approach, you're not being, I don't believe you're being a very good coach to them, because you're not taking into account where they are in their own development, in their own knowledge base, in their own motivation base. You're not really paying good attention to them.
Welcome to season 3 of the Gospel Coach Podcast. Our aim in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in the ongoing ministry of the gospel through coaching other leaders by examples of our learned experiences, as well as inviting different guest coaches to share what they are utilizing and multiplying the gospel among the nations. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., alongside the pioneer of gospel coaching and founder and president of CMM, Dr. Tom Wood. Tom began gospel coaching, creating the cross conversation model over 15 years ago, and began training other gospel coaches in the USA in 2009.
So good to be able to be with you and to share with our team of global coaches here at CMM USA headquarters. We have 12 professional coaches. We have on our team is Olivia Jackson. She's the director of women coaching. Olivia's doing a great job for us in women coaching. You can contact us about that whole avenue. And the Lord has added a new space for gospel coaching in the chaplaincy corps. Military, first responders, and corporate chaplains. That's just getting underway, but already gaining great traction. We have Dr. Don Sampson. He's taken a new role with us as the director of chaplaincy coaching, and has introduced gospel coaching in that space, and it is expanding and doing quite well.
And don't forget, we now have expanded our coaching and training into the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, and Wales, and next up, Ireland, with Matt Waldock in Manchester, England, coming on our staff team here recently to handle the 70-plus men and women who have now gone through Gospel Coach Foundations. And all that, of course, is in addition to our coaching in the church world with planters, pastors, associational leaders, and movement leaders in cities, towns, college towns, and cross-culturally in the USA.
One last thought for those of our listeners who are gospel coaching. If you've never been coached, we encourage you to get one, even if it's for a short season.
Be sure to listen to the amazing conversations and helpful reminders in our first two seasons. We continue with important topics from your ministry of coaching and to cross-pollinate ideas and insights in gospel coaching practices from other regions. Please contact us at gospelcoachingnetwork@gmail.com with questions or comments.
Welcome to this episode of Gospel Coach Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to be with you and in these times. Jim and I have a great time talking about the kind of topics that we think are important in understanding this kind of unique. We have our a unique way in which we train and in which we coach people, and we know it's a little bit different than the general marketplace that you have, places that you can go to get coach training. Although we do have partners that are utilizing our materials and utilizing our methodologies, if you call the gospel a methodology, I guess. Approach. But if you're involved in one of those and you've been gospel coach trained, that's your audience. That's who we're who we're talking to and trying to share with. So we have a good one today in the next couple of sessions that we're going to be talking about. And what's the topic that we're going to be discussing on today's podcast, Jim?
Yeah, it's a good one. It expands on the comment you made towards the end of our first episode in season 3 on adaptive coaching. It's something that we chatted about in season 1, episode 8, and something that we train on in our continue workshop. And we're going to tackle it with a case study. So where do you want to start, Tom? Case study or just introducing the topic?
Let me just, so adaptive coaching is the whole idea of understanding that it's the way you coach somebody is it's multidimensional and a multi situational approach. You're never in a situation with a coachee in which one size or one thing is going to fit them, because they're in different places. They're in different places with experiences in their life. They're in different places with a sense of skill development. Everybody's got a different knowledge base about things of which they're approaching the job that they're in. And so when we say, for instance, even when we talk about the difference between mentoring and coaching, we're saying when you're coaching somebody who's in a specific role, right? So we're after a role. Well, people come into different roles at different times, seasons of their life with a knowledge base of that role, or maybe a lack of knowledge base of that role. And so that's what we talk about adaptive coaching. I'm really picking up off of one of my mentors who taught this to me years and years and years ago. And I know he adapted this understanding of coaching, situational, he called it situational coaching, from one of the books on situational leadership back in the 80s, I think. So this is an adaptation of an adaptation of a source. So take it for what that's worth. But let's start with a case study, though. Let's put it into real life.
Yeah. All right. So John is a church planter in a distinct section of a major U.S. city, very ethnically diverse, very liberal, and recently very unchurched. He and his family were a good fit for their context. She was an artist. He had a tech background, very relatable to the new people in that section of the city. He had some business background and been on staff of a church plant, but no experience as a lead pastor or a planter. And after a few meetings as a coach where he connected, the coach asked about topics to put on the table. And John said, I don't know. I've heard all these best practices. I've tried so many of them, and it's not really getting the results I hope for. So his coach asked some good open-ended questions about what John thought he should do, and he didn't know the answer. It turns out, on further investigation, he's not getting any real support from his sending church, and it seems that he's a lot less energized than previous meetings.
Yeah, all right, so this case study really shows us some of the limitations of the just asking questions approach. I know the people that say, well, you just ask questions, is you've got to just keep asking him questions about his lack of knowledge, but that really exasperates the coachee, I believe. If he doesn't, he doesn't know what he doesn't know, then he doesn't know what he doesn't know. I mean, that's pretty simple.
Wait, you know? I have to think about that. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so for listeners who are less familiar, you did give us a kind of an overview of what adaptive coaching is, but can you give us some more specifics about how it works and what we mean by adaptive coaching for those that haven't maybe gone through the Continue workshop or just need a good refresher?
Yeah. So again, let me just say, I want to make sure that I'm very clear on this. Gospel coaching does ask a lot of questions. But we're not just asking questions for asking questions' sake. We're asking good questions. We're asking the right questions. We're asking a lot of heart questions, which I'll get to in just a few minutes. But it's not just asking questions. We use a tool, a diagnostic tool that we teach. If you'll remember, if you've gone through this through our training, we call them skimmies, short. But we have to diagnose if a guy is not or a woman is not getting is not accomplishing the things that they set out to accomplish, the objectives and even the strategies of their missional objectives that they said they were going to be working on, and they're not being able to get that done, then we want to diagnose, is it because they don't know what to do? They don't have a knowledge base for that? In the case study you gave us, that's what he kept saying. I don't know. I've heard these best practices. I've tried some, but I don't know what to do next. So is it a knowledge issue? Do they lack the skills in it? Do they not, do they not have the skill of doing whatever it is that they've set out to do? And so they need further education, or they need some kind of skill development process for that. Is it a motivational issue? Have they lost heart? They know that they may know what they want to do, but they just don't have the get up and go to make it happen. And something's happened to them, something's demotivating them. Other things are happening in their life. And then of course the E, we say the enemy could be at work. We always got to pay attention because we're working in the spiritual realm. that we have a common enemy. And no matter what you set out to do, as they say in military planning, you know, you can put a great battle plan together, but the enemy always gets a vote. So you never know what's going to happen when you set out to do something, what the enemy's going to do, how he's going to counterattack, how he's going to try to dissuade you or keep you from accomplishing it. So in terms of adaptive coaching, let me paint this picture. You've got some of you are driving, some of you, you know, you don't have a paper or a pen in front of you, but in your mind's eye, create a box and then divide the box into four quadrants, basically. And if you're thinking about the box, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. So just go from the left lower box to the right lower box. That's 1, 2. Then the upper box above the 2 is the 3. And then to the quadrant left top quadrant is number 4. So in the quadrant 1 down the lower left quadrant, as I said, that's a 1. On and then next to the 1 and the 4 side, going on the vertical axis, it runs from skills and knowledge, from high to low. The top to low is high and low of their skills and their knowledge ability. And then on the horizontal axis beneath is their motivation. And that runs, again, from left to right, from low to high, out towards the 2. Okay, so you've got that in your mind's eye. As you're coaching somebody, you have got to keep this kind of paradigm in your mind as you're listening to them tell you, talk to you about either A, what they're trying to accomplish, or B, what they tried to accomplish but didn't get done or can't get done. And you have to be aware, you have to have enough awareness as a coach as you're listening to them, and again, asking the right kinds of questions to try to diagnose where are they in this schematic, in one of these four quadrants, where do they put themselves? And this is a different approach, I think, to gospel coaching in talking with and relating to the coachee, is understanding this dynamic. So in the bottom left-hand quadrant, the number 1 quadrant, is somebody who has low skills or knowledge, and they've lost the motivation. They're low in motivation. And then as you run out to number 2, if you go out the axis on the horizontal axis, they are still low in skill and knowledge, but they're highly motivated. Mm-hmm. They're highly motivated to get the job done. They just don't have the skills to get it done.
That's very different.
And you move up above you've got somebody who is high in skills and knowledge. They know what needs to be done, and they're highly motivated. Well, that's a completely different person that you're coaching than the person who's in the number 1 quadrant, low in motivation and low in skill. And then the number 4 quadrant over to the top left quadrant is somebody that's high in knowledge, high in skill, perhaps, but low in motivation. Something's taken the steam out of them. And if you try to coach somebody with the same approach, you try to coach different people, or maybe the same person at different seasons in their life, they're in one of these quadrants with the same approach, I don't believe you're being a very good coach to them, because you're not taking into account where they are in their own development, in their own knowledge base, their own motivation base. You're not really paying good attention to them.
Yeah, I remember the first time you pointed this out to me years ago. It helped me as a coach to see that I not only had to diagnose what was needed, skill, knowledge, motivation, or enemy, but I had to look at it in where those combined. And it's a different approach depending on the combination of factors, right? Okay, so go back to the case study with John. What do you notice about which quadrant he may be in, and how do you adapt your coaching if you were his coach?
So where would you, as you're observing him, Jim, where would you play? You're listening to him, and you're asking good questions. Yeah. You're trying to get a background. He's very good with people. You said he had a business background, so he's got some knowledge base right? And experience. We could say that skill and knowledge is kind of your experience base, right? So you've got the skills, you've got the knowledge. But he has never been on the staff of a church or a church plant, and has zero experience as a lead pastor, or a pastor. So as you're examining that, you're listening to his story, you're asking questions about his experiences, about his level of skills. Tell me about your preaching. Tell me about your leadership development. You know, as you're learning about him as a coach, you're listening to his story, you're trying to get that. What quadrant would you?
Think
he's landing here, if you had to plot him out.
Right. Well, the fact that he said, I don't know, is a pretty clear indication that he's in the low knowledge area. You know, knowledge and skill are connected, right? You can't be good at something if you don't know what to do. So he's definitely in the low skill and knowledge. And then the fact that he seems kind of down. I don't know. Did you pick up on that? Like, things, he's not getting a lot of support, you know? So I'm thinking he's low and low. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, so he's along that spectrum down at the bottom on the motivation thing. He may have lost a little, but the fact that he's there, he wants to plant a church, you know, he started out with some motivation. I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So again, there's not, you know, the horizontal access and the vertical access are spectrums, you know, there, no one's high or low. All the time,
except
for me, when I get up in the morning and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm probably low. So somewhere, probably somewhere on that motivation thing, he's at one point was highly motivated. Right now, something may have come up that you're catching him at a bad moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you do know that he said one of the things you've picked up because you're listening is he doesn't know. He lacks the knowledge of what to do as a planter, and perhaps lacks the skills of a planter because he's not done it before.
Yeah. Right. He just hasn't practiced at it yet.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced at it yet. So, when we view as a gospel coach, as you're viewing this, if the coachee is low in their motivation and low in their skills or the know-how, you have to adapt your approach by what we call exhorting. If we're picking up that we're in the number one or number two quadrant, depending where they are in that axis, or where they are in that axis on that spectrum, in their motivation, they're still in the low knowledge thing. So you're working with somebody who's in a number one or a number two quadrant somewhere there. There's going to be some exhortation. There's going to be maybe some education that has to come along, or helping them find the place of where they're going to get their education, their know-how, you know, to do this. But simply continue to ask questions that are seeking information from him of which he does not have, is like, this is probably not the right thing because they're not children, but you know, it's like talking to your 5-year-old, you know, about, well, what's the square root of 3 or 9? I mean, they don't have the knowledge to even know. And if you just keep, try to figure it out, you know, kinds of questions, you're just exasperating them.
Yeah. And in the coaching conversation, the flow of cross, connect, review, clarifying objectives and setting strategies, how do you adapt as a coach when it comes to the objectives?
Of setting their objectives?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a great time, I believe, in gospel coaching, when especially in the at the motivation thing. But I'll talk about this with skills as well. But in the motivation place is to find out, well, what are you really relying on? And it's an opportunity to begin to ask those heart-related kinds of questions about where they are with Jesus, you know, what's their reliance been on in the past. Maybe in business, you could rely on your business acumen, or for your wife, she's a great artist, your tech background or whatever. But now you're in a field that you have no power to overcome any of these places. It's a great opportunity. It's a great place to insert gospel dynamics. And yet, on the other hand, it's also a place to talk about his pride. If he's feeling like, I don't have the skills, I don't have the knowledge base, you know, you can explore that as a gospel exploration as well. You know,
right.
Where have you, right. where, you know, the lack of this may show that you have really trusted in your own abilities, you know, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about this is not a podcast about gospel 3D, but you know, all of you guys that have been through the training, remember gospel 3D, the three components, distress, delight, and direction. When somebody's low in motivation, they are feeling their distress more so than someone who is highly motivated, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's one of those opportunities as a gospel coach to ask a question that really underscores, what is it you're trusting and what do you need to turn from, or, you know, how do you repent from that? And then move on to delight. Like, well, then what do you need to believe in that Jesus has done for you? I just think that's
right.
It's a ready-made opportunity. I would not want a gospel coach to not see that opportunity and to get off the highway of trying to get things done.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Miss the opportunity to really focus on the heart of the coachee.
Right. And just again, for those who come from this asking question thing, we're not suggesting, and it wouldn't be healthy for you as a coach, he doesn't know what to do next, is for you to give him, well, here's the six things you need to do, you know, to plant your church. I'm not suggesting that at all. That would be not gospel coaching either. You know, that you'd all of a sudden become the educator and go, well, okay, well, let's just spend the next half hour. Let me teach you how to plant the church. You know, that's not what we're saying either. But there are things that we as coaches can help them figure out, okay, if it's a lack of education or lack of skill development, well, where are you going to go to get that education? You know?
Yeah.
And again, if he doesn't know, now I believe you as a coach can help him, give him some ideas about some places and resources and things that he could look into. Now it's on him to go do those things.
Yeah.
But that's where I would say, I don't think that we're restricted in never telling him something. You know, okay, mm-hmm. well, if you, I don't even know where to go to get that information. Okay, well, here's a few ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they can set their own objective about when they want to do that, and their strategies of who they're going to contact and find the information that they're looking for. And that's what we want to do. We want to help them educate themselves or find the people that can educate them, subject matter experts and things like that. So we do say we're not the subject matter expert, and we're not advocating that. But don't miss the opportunity to get to the heart.
Because gospel coaching is aiming for transformation of the person, not just helping them get the job done.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So stay tuned. Next time we'll tackle another aspect of adaptive coaching. Tom, thanks for your time today. Appreciate your expertise and help. Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.